Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at internetadvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at internetadvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
All aboard! Train's about to leave the station for an exciting program. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. It's going to be gadgets galore. It's going to be an incredible fall of releases of new laptops, tablets, smartphones, you name it. We're going to be talking about it with the full crew of the Internet Advisor, plus Rick Breuner, the gadget guy from CNET, who's in here with us as well. Going to be an outstanding program. Don't miss a minute of it. Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor Express. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and we have the entire crew in here today. Delighted to have my full team with me. Gary Baker, good to have you in-house.
It's wonderful to be here.
And also Mr. Ed Riddell.
Hello, Foster.
And speaking both languages, Apple and non-Apple, we have Cal Carson.
A pleasure.
And because of this being the Gadget Galore show, I figured it was only right that we'd have our own gadget guy in here, Rick Breuner from CNET. Good to have you aboard.
Thanks. I'm the caboose on this train.
Oh, no, definitely. I think you may be the conductor.
I was just going to say, let's put him at the head of the train here because that's what this segment's all about.
Oh, wow. And what we wanted to do today, we're just going to kind of lean back here as five people who have both been using a lot of gadgets for many years and also keeping in touch with a lot of the changes that are going on, and just kind of talk today on kind of a freewheeling basis about this big fall set of releases. Has any of you, can you recall back to a time when we've had as many devices out there and as many big changes in operating systems?
I can't think of a time. You know, there's been one company come out with big releases, but it's one company. Here, it seems like it's every company that we've been watching are coming out with something.
Yeah, it's an enormous one. Can you think, guys, when you think back to that? I mean, I'm going all the way back maybe to like Windows 95 or, you know, those initial ones when you had that really kind of...
Well, you know, maybe you know, in my memory, thinking back about the time when the Palm Pilot was pretty big, there was a lot of things going on because everybody wanted to create a handheld. Everybody wanted to create something with handwriting recognition on it. Everybody failed at it miserably. That was pretty big back then.
Kind of watershed moments.
Yeah.
You're right. That is an interesting one.
Well, and maybe, Cal, the difference was while some of us were really interested in it, there wasn't enough people interested in a lot of those gadgets. Today, it seems like, you know, everybody has a gadget.
Once you got the operating systems in their hands and devices they use every day, just not being paid to use, right, like phones and tablets, now everyone's paying attention.
You know, one of the things, how about you, Rick? Any thoughts about other kind of big turning point moments?
I think we're definitely looking at kind of a perfect storm coming into the fall here with so much coming from so many different corners. But it was, you know, it was interesting that you brought up the Palm Pilot, Cal, because that was very big for me. I wrote a couple books about it. I started a magazine about it.
Oh, really?
I did. And it's... It was interesting to see how huge that device was and how over the course of just a few years, how as more vendors got into the game and it really just became such a commodity item and the market got all watered down and Microsoft kind of ruined it, if you want my two cents on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you go back and think about it, the Palm Pilot, I don't know if you remember because I had one. The Palm Pilot was out and then it sprung off and it came out to Handspring Visor.
That's right, right.
And then Visor took... And they joined a Palm Pilot, basically, and a cell phone together. And that's like the first smartphone that they had going on at that particular
time. That's exactly right. And I would, matter of fact, I had those devices. I was following that path because it was so handy for me to be able to combine those contents rather than a couple of devices to put it into one device.
And then the Trios came out.
Yes.
That's right.
Which changed everything.
Yes, exactly.
When the Palm Pilot came out, was there anything else? It seemed like it was 80-85% of the market.
It was, and you thought, here's this juggernaut that's going to just like, exactly, you know, steamroll. And then, so it gets me thinking about the way the iPhone is today. And, you know, can anything topple the iPhone? And, you know, obviously Android has made a huge dent in it. Mm-hmm. But you look at Windows Phone, which has all the marketing muscle and dollars of Microsoft behind it. It is getting nowhere. And
Until now.
Well, we'll see. Windows RT and the Surface can help to elevate, you know, rising tide raises all boats, yep. And we'll see if that can bring up Windows Phone.
It'll be very interesting. One of the things I want to pursue with you guys when we go on a little further is the whole notion of the international markets, because the things we've been talking about before when devices appeared really were the U.S., and then there was a ripple effect out into international markets. Now those international markets are almost more significant. Think of the market in China.
Yes.
The market in India. And I was listening, and Brazil, and I was listening to somebody talk about...
You're thinking of emerging markets. There have been a lot of technology that really has been, you know, widespread in Europe a lot sooner than here. So yes. When we think about this and we think, oh, it's U.S. and it spreads from the U.S., no, it really spread from Europe in many cases.
And also, I think, in Asia as well, obviously.
And now we're seeing it moving to the emerging markets.
Yeah, and now those emerging markets, what I'm thinking of in terms of the number of handsets sold, is I think I understood, maybe you can correct me on this, Rick, you have more information, but I thought that there were more Windows phones being used in China than than iPhones. I thought I saw that somewhere, which surprised me until I heard that in terms of smart TVs, I think like 44% of the market in China that have them, are using smart TVs. And it's big in India and in Brazil, where in the U.S. it's minuscule.
Why would that even surprise you about the phones? They are building them over there and shipping them out to be sold. They're building the other ones over there and they're not selling, so it's easy to get a bunch of them.
Well, but the other thing is that I think the significance to me was that the international markets are really where the dollars and cents are, or the yen, or whatever else is out there. The volume, I think, is going to begin. I'm interested to see what happens when the volume of sales overseas begins to impact these companies.
You know, and you also have, Apple, which has a price tag that's pricey. And then you have other phones, other really good smartphones, maybe not, in my opinion, quite as good as the iPhone. Mm-hmm. But they're cheap, and that's, I think, why you see the proliferation of them in the emerging markets, where price matters more.
As far as I'm concerned, there's no technology that won't get toppled.
I mean, that's a very good point.
Everyone can get toppled at any given time. Yep. All you have to do is come out with the better mousetrap.
There's an article I put on our Facebook page I want to tell you folks about.
A mousetrap?
No, but about the better iPhone. The upcoming battle between Microsoft and Apple kind of being a renewal of an old battle that went on back in the 80s. Anyway, folks, we have the full crew here. We're going to be talking about gadgets galore. They're going to be appearing this fall. If you want to get a little idea of what's coming out, stick around. We got a great show. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, or the mud wrestling match that has already begun here in our studios.
We really need to go to the webcam, I'm telling you.
Oh, we do.
We need to stream this to the website.
We need to keep it on during the commercial breaks. Exactly.
We have to have two shows. One is kind of like an extra, which is to have the cameras on as we're wrangling behind the scenes. Well, let's bring this back out into the public, because it started off, we're talking, by the way, folks, today. If you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you're going to find just a whole host of things on our webpage there about the different things that have been revealed already and that are coming soon. And by that, we're talking about the big IFA show that happened in Berlin, where companies like Samsung, Sony, Panasonic, Motorola, Asus, Dell, and have already displayed some of the new devices, a lot of Windows tablets, etc., going out there. I don't want to talk about the details of that so much as just kind of open up to you folks that this is going to be an incredible fall of device releases. But let's continue a conversation that we began in here. And I started off by saying to Cal, one of the problems I'm having with my iPhone now, since I've got it back, is that for about a month and a half, I used my daughter's iPad and got used to being able to easily read my email and fairly easily look at web pages. And that it's frustrating to my old eyes now when I have to try to look at something, read something on the web or is attached to an email that I got, because I'm constantly with my thumbs trying to spread things out to see a bit of it and sliding it around. So there's a real frustration factor that has come in now. And you're nodding your head, Rick, that you can relate to this experience.
Well, I do. I feel the same way. And I've kind of long been a proponent of having different screens for different needs, you know, and like the iPad is great for when you want to look at a web page or you want to, you know, read a magazine or something like that. Certain games are much better, obviously, on a bigger screen, but it doesn't fit in your pocket. And, you know, it's obviously a lot more expensive. It's heavier to tote around with you. It's yeah, come on. I'm just saying that there's certain times when I'm only have my iPhone with me.
Yes. There and is no all-purpose tool.
No, there's not.
There's no exactly Swiss Army knife of technology.
That's what I'm saying.
But so you... Go ahead, Ed.
No, I just said yet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We may have one of these holographic things, you know, that can just kind of show up. Or the glasses. We'll get the Google glasses.
You know, for you, Foster, all it requires is going down to Kmart, picking up a dollar fish bowl, filling it with water, and put the phone behind it. You're done.
Well, one of the things that, you know, is getting us closer there is now how we can stream video from our phones. And Foster, you and I were talking about this coming in and how if you got like an Apple TV and wirelessly, you could stream from any Apple device in your house. Yeah. And the same is true with, well, hopefully will be true at some point with the Xbox, because with the Xbox, you have your media center, Windows Media Center. You could do something similar with that. Well, you know, and you can stream it to any display in your house. At some point, someone's going to come up with a flexible display or a display that I think of the old Battlestar Galactica series that quit 5 years ago, where they basically had a cloth that they would just fold out of their pocket and lay it down, and that cloth would be able to display anything they want to any device that, you know, computer. That
they have the flexible AMOLED screens, is it? Or no, OLED screens, isn't it, that are... the ones you can roll up?
Yeah, but we don't all have them because they're really expensive now.
It's like the original phones in some ways, too.
It's just like a point that Rick brought up during the break that we were talking about. You know, it's not a phone anymore. It's some sort of other device. And, like, being a phone is, like, the last thing that the thing does.
Okay, guys, right. I saw this set. Oh, go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was just going to say, to your point, you know, you're saying that your iPhone screen is too small for certain things, especially reading and so forth. I love to read on my phone, whether it's an e-book or just, you know, news and things like that. Do I wish that it had a larger screen? When I put that next to that Samsung S3 with that, I think it's a 4.8-inch screen. Oh, my gosh, that thing is gorgeous.
Well, the Galaxy Note now, what is that, about
five inches. So I'm eagerly awaiting the iPhone with the larger screen, you know, next month, we're thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't think Apple went far enough. I wish they had made it bigger.
What are you, Captain Kangaroo? You got really big pockets? You just said to me on the break you need something to fit in your pocket.
It fits in
make
my pocket.
Make the screen bigger.
But, you know, inch. It's a game of inches, Cal.
Okay, well, would it be okay if you went with the alleged Vaporware iPad Mini?
Well, 8-inch screen will not fit in my pocket, no. I don't have those kind of pockets.
Okay. All right.
Gary, what did you say?
And actually, it's going to be longer, but it's not going to be wider because it still has to fit in your hand, right? And that's what Apple said it won't mess with.
But I think the success of that Samsung phone and others like it have proven that you can have a slightly larger screen that will still fit very comfortably in your pocket and give you a little extra screen estate for people who have, you know, older eyes or just want to read a lot on their phone. Screen estate. I coined that. That's mine. No. Don't. I can't use it. Trademark.
Okay.
Rick Broida.
Trademark. Okay.
Yeah, but when the screen gets too wide, you won't be able to do all the functions on the phone with one hand.
One hand.
Well, that was part of the concept behind Apple not making that screen bigger in the first place.
Foster needs them with his hands, but, you know, my wife. Yeah,
I know
so
that.
Much.
That's exactly it. You know, whose hands are you talking about? You see the models for these things? Yes, I looked at the guy. You can get hair all over the arm, so you know it's not like some fancy little model who's holding this thing. But what I found fascinating at this IFA in Berlin this last week was the release of a lot of these 6-inch devices or 10-inch devices, which come apart. You know, the screen is a tablet that disconnects from a keyboard.
Oh, great. So now I get to carry two pieces around with me.
But you know what I saw happening? Also, an interesting article came out. I don't know if I put it on our Facebook page, but it said what may be happening is we're going to start developing these. There's a fork in the road going to come here where we're going to be seeing more people wanting dumb old phones. Like just flip phones with keyboards, period. And then they'll be carrying another device that they'll be doing, for instance, their email and looking at web pages, et cetera. I had that experience when my iPhone died, that I was carrying around my daughter's iPad, and I used that for email, but taking phone calls on an older phone that somebody had, I just put this.
And a lot of the executives I work with do the same thing. They carry two devices, a dumbed down phone, or they'll carry two smartphones with them, but one, you know, that they use as a phone for their conference with Bluetooth, and the other one, they're reading the meeting notes or they're watching a virtual room activity going on.
So you really have two devices then, Cal. We're going towards those two.
So what I'm thinking is when you look at some of the rumors that are coming out saying, okay, you know, the fast 4G networks, and that's really going to give Verizon you know, some sort of big edge, because everybody that's going to want the LTE 4G is going to go to Verizon because they have a better network.
And they'll have more people on their network. The network will slow down and everybody will leave that network and go to the other network and still play that same game we've done for years.
You took the words out of my mouth.
What? You are an eternal optimist.
Well, not only that, though, but going back to the two devices. Going back to the two devices, with the Verizon, and I'm using Verizon right now, and I can't wait to get back to the iPhone 5. I'm going to go back to AT&T because I want to be able to have my headset on, talking on the phone, and be able to do data at the same time.
There you go.
I cannot do it.
That's
the
two devices. Now, that may be the two devices, Cal.
Now, you know, I'm starting to see in my mind, in my weird, twisted mind, the reemergence.
I don't want to look in there. I don't want to look.
The reemergence of something called an internet cafe. Now, the difference is you don't go in to get bandwidth. It's just going to be sitting in an airport. It's going to be a counter with docks. And so you come in, you pay a buck, so you can just take your iPad, plug it right into the dock, and you'll be able to, you know, type and everything on it, do downloads really fast, and then you pull it out.
No, it's going to be a Microsoft Surface table is what it's going to be, and you'll dock your iPad to
it. It's all wireless. Go anywhere you want, and it'll just be there for you.
I will say that the Surface, since you brought it up, is the big question mark of the fall.
I think so, too.
We're talking about the Microsoft Surface, which is going to be essentially their platform for Windows 8.
Right.
Pro.
Right.
Yeah. But it's another tablet, but it has a built-in keyboard as the part of the cover.
Well, let's just explain it. Well, MacBook, we'll talk about this a little bit. There are two devices coming out. Windows RT, which is goes with the Atom processors on the small tablets.
Right.
And then the big guns will be the Windows Pro, Windows 8 Pro coming out on the Surface, which will be, again, it'll be a tablet. No, well, it'll be...
Aha! There it is. You don't understand it, and you're an expert at all this technology stuff.
I can't find a word for it.
This is where Microsoft is really screwing this up, because they've got Windows 8, they've got Windows Surface, they've got Windows RT.
Yeah.
It is too confusing, and it's going to end up being too pricey. And so, you know, nobody asked for my prediction, but you're getting it anyway. It's going to flop.
All right, that's Rick Broidat. Now, that's somebody, our gadget guy with
heard
that.
It here
that, that. We'll wrangle a little more about that when we come back, because I want to talk about Apple's release coming out this next month, and then also talk about the big Microsoft thing, maybe develop more of what we're talking about. And Rick Broidat has a deal for us. He always comes in. He's also, by the way, the CNET cheapskate, and we'd love to have him around for that. More on that coming up here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back to our very special program today, kind of gadgets galore. We have the whole team in here, Gary, Ed, and Cal, and myself, Foster Brown. We also have with us as well Rick Broidat, who is the gadget guy for us and is also a blogger for CNET, where he does the Cheapskate blog there. Matter of fact, we do have a deal coming up that we're going to tell you about. We just posted it on the homepage. By the way, our homepage today is, if ever, more important, because lots of information there for you about the things we're talking about, this big fall release of gadgets that are going out there right now. One of the first places that these gadgets this week already started coming out was in Berlin, and I'm trying to find the pronunciation for the dying thing, and it's called the IFA. Here we go. It's on the homepage. It's the Internationale Funkausstellung, which is happening in Germany, Berlin.
Say that again.
Well, it's something that I don't think I think how many of us here have heard about it beforehand? Had you, Gary?
Well, yes, but I hadn't paid much attention to
it. And anybody else?
No.
Nope.
No. And so out of the most, how about you, Cal? Had you heard about it?
No. Nine.
So I think maybe one of us really, I had never heard about it myself before. It's a trade show that normally hasn't taken a lot of international impact. But this time, for some reason, all of these companies, it's funny that Samsung, after getting clobbered in court, the next week, comes out at a shining star here. They introduced their what they called the first Windows 8 phone. Their thing is called Active, and looks pretty interesting, like pretty darn nice competitor out there. They also had a number of other things, big items that they put out there as well. And then Sony had some devices there. There were just a whole bunch of tablets, a lot of Windows tablets. Mm-hmm. That really interested me. Did any of these other releases surprise you coming out of IFA? Was there anything else you noticed about them that struck you?
Well, I hate to say this, and I don't like beating a dead horse, but I will. I noticed a lot of the Samsung product, although looked very slick, very nice, very cool, very copied.
You think
because
so?
They've got some great all-in-one computers for desktop, and they just kind of look a lot like somebody else's computers, in my opinion.
But aren't they all getting... Series 9? You're talking about the Series 9.
Yeah.
That looks like a MacBook. I'm confused. Air. Whose computers do they look like?
I don't know. It's some fruity company.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait, how about this? I heard somebody talk about this today. Somebody was complaining about design of a tablet. And somebody said, how many different ways can you make a black rectangle look different? You know? Come on, guys. Essentially, we boil down to a screen and a bezel around it. Yeah. And after that, it's all software, isn't it?
Well, then you can provide actual real USB ports, maybe, and SD slots, so you actually have additional storage.
But all the Android tablets have that already.
Exactly. Yeah.
For what?
For
what? I get all my stuff off the cloud.
You got the cloud, that's right.
Oh, well,
yeah, but if I want to hack it, I want to have
Now I got to carry some more stuff in my pocket.
But you got to get the SD card goes in the slot. It's not your pocket.
You got to get it to the cloud. How many times has somebody given you a USB drive, right?
I don't accept them.
You don't, really.
There's that elitism, that Mac elitism.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's that, because you also have concerns about what's on the drives as well when you get on the people.
See?
There is a security concern there. But how, all right, Greg, you brought something.
I got a bunch of photos from my sister who, handed me a USB drive.
Can you say Dropbox?
She doesn't use it.
Come on into the 21st century.
I wanted the photos.
Okay,
there you go.
I won't take it away from you, but she could have just put them back in her computer and sent them up there for me.
She doesn't have that.
Now, here's a question for you. How much, guys, quickly before we get, there's a whole bunch of other things to talk about.
And I wanted the photos.
How much is the cloud or this cloud-based thing that everybody's hearing about, cloud-based storage, cloud-based sharing, how much is that going to affect the way we deal with these devices and what device we choose? Many devices we carry.
Well, just about every vendor offers it. You have, they have the iCloud. Microsoft's is called SkyDrive.
Yes. Yeah. Google has a cloud.
You have Dropbox. Right.
Rick, you came up with one recently. Another drive that was out there was a free one. I forget the one.
I want to say MediaFire.
Box, I think, is what you... Box was the one that...
Well, there's so
many. There's so
many
of them.
SugarSync.
SugarSync. That was the one you talked about.
I wrote about this week, I think it's MediaFire, that gives you 50 gigabytes free of charge.
Wow.
Free of charge.
So it's more and more that real estate is out there right now. I think that even though we're seeing a lot of devices coming out, and we'll have a lot of this discussion about what's really going to catch on, we're seeing a lot of stuff thrown out, okay? It's going to be interesting to see what sticks.
Well, I can tell you from a devil's advocate standpoint, I was just jousting with Gary, USB drive, that sort of thing. I would take certain things out. I only put things that I care or don't care about and don't mind the public seeing on these cloud drives, because I don't feel comfortable putting my really secure stuff out there. That's stored on physical drives that I keep secure in other locations.
Now, you've been a big advocate, though, cloud-based backup, though, haven't you?
No, I've been a big advocate of backup. If cloud-based is your only choice that you can afford to be able to store stuff off-site in some sort of location, it's not a bad alternative.
And I've heard people give it, you store it on a hard drive, you would store it in some secure place, and then in the cloud. Isn't that the 1, 2, 3?
Well, I just say you always have two places.
Okay.
The 1, 2, 3 in my particular equation is you have it on the actual computer itself, you have it on external drive that you have stored in one place, and you have it on another external drive stored somewhere else.
And some people would substitute the cloud for the last one there.
You could.
Let's just quickly jump in, because I think we're moving toward one of the things I see happening here, and let me get your feedback on this, is that the devices are not going to be so much important anymore, as the software and how it integrates the devices is really going to be big, leading us then towards the Apple releases coming out and the Microsoft release. So first of all, what do you think of that notion that despite all these devices coming out, maybe the big thing that's going to help people make their choices is what's the operating system and how well can I make all my stuff work together?
You mean like your car and your iPhone?
Could be my car, my iPhone.
Because Apple is now working with GM. There's a whole list of them. Mercedes.
We're going to be doing a show next month.
This
month,
BMW.
I'm sorry?
A lot with BMW.
And a lot with BMW, right. And Ford's absent. I don't know why Ford and Chrysler are absent from
probably
the list.
Because Ford has its
Sync
technology they did on their own.
And what does GM have? They have
GM's got OnStar, but they don't really have a
OnStar's
automation
different.
Based.
Well, they have their own portal now. What do you think about the notion of software really being the driving force to what I buy in terms of hardware? What do you think, Rick?
I don't know that I agree with that 100%. I think, you know, obviously it's a driver for some people in much the way that they choose a Windows PC versus a Mac PC. They choose an iPhone versus an Android phone. I mean, there's that operating system side, but I think the software is kind of leveled out where any app you want, you can get on any platform now. Well, I guess it's all apps now, isn't it? I'm trying to think of anything else.
I would agree. So what about, iOS 6,
right?
That is also coming out. In fact, you know, the developers have been given a lot of information about it so that they can start developing apps for it. But it's going to then make it possible for Apple to have turn-by-turn. You know, there's a lot of apps out there right now that do that. Well, Apple's going to make it part of the operating system.
Right, which is going to hurt a lot of app developers.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's what they're trying to sink into the cars. I shouldn't use sink, but into the cars, because it's really no eyes or eyes free is what they're now calling it. And instead of Siri, it's eyes free. You don't have to look at the device anymore. You can look at the road and just talk to the device. And it can run your car. It can do a lot of things. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But is it hurting app developers?
No.
And do they care?
No.
A true
app developer is like a true entrepreneur. You find a way to create something that works.
More value?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say Apple does develop turn by turn. Great, that's fine. So maybe you develop turn by turn with some sort of enhancement to it. I don't know, a more visual map, actual pictures, whatever it is to it. Turn by turn that says, oh, by the way, while you're turning left here at Milwaukee, there's the Fisher Building off to the side. Turn by turn with history. Turn by turn with stores. Turn by turn with sports places.
Bing does a lot
of
that.
So there's all sorts of things you could
visually
do.
Visually, now. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I know, Ed, what are your thoughts on this about the notion of software being more of a determining factor than the actual devices themselves so that I can talk between my devices and they all just work?
You know, I don't really have an opinion. I'm going to take a backseat on this and let you guys just argue this.
You know, I tell you where it's making a difference for me, Al, and I'll point my finger at the Apple man here because, and Rick as well. Rick, you had talked about with TV, you know, cutting the cord, and we had talked about the Roku HD and the Apple TV being pretty much equal on that. I'm throwing my hat into a refurbished Apple TV because now with Mountain Lion, the new operating system that is released just a little while back for Apple devices, I can simply wirelessly connect with my smart TV. Wirelessly, anything is on any of my iOS devices. I don't have to worry about whether I have subscriptions to any of that. If I can get it on my computer and I can stream it, I can see it on my TV without plugging a single thing in. So that operating system has become extremely critical for me. I don't know how you guys.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people feel the same way as far as when they're ingrained in iTunes. For example, I have a buddy of mine who has an iPhone, and he's really not liking it for various reasons. He doesn't like certain phone features, calendar features, but he's stuck in iTunes because that's where he's purchased all his music, all his movies, and so forth. For him to move to Android would be very difficult. Yeah. It would be a royal pain, and that's so. As far as software goes, I think it's more you're getting into that whole,
Okay, here's my question for you guys when we come back. Can Microsoft make it a three-legged race? Coming up, we'll ask you that question. And we got a deal from Rick Broider coming up as well. Thank you so much for being with us here for this Internet Advisor. Been kind of freewheeling, and we thought we'd make it just that with our team in here, along with Rick Broider, the gadget guy for us here at the Internet Advisor, and great cheapskate columnist with CNET. We've got some links on our homepage. By the way, the homepage is a very important place for you to visit, internetadvisor.net. We have the list both of all the releases coming out of this new hardware and things like that, the companies that are going to be releasing them this September, starting right now, and going through the rest of the month. It's going to be a huge month. Apple, a big release coming out the middle of the month, but before that, lots of other stuff from Nokia, from Amazon. They're coming out with a new, Kindle. And the Kindle Fire. Kindle Fire, pardon me, right? That's the bigger
thing. Find out in about a week.
Yep, it'll be coming out. And then Apple, of course, with the new phone, possibly a mini pad, an iPad coming out of there. And then the month after that, October, is going to be the big one with Microsoft. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Before we get there,
You know something, Foster? When you said a homepage is really important, you know why?
Why?
There's no place like home.
Thank you very much.
I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
Click your heels twice. You may end up there. Rick, you have got, as the Cheapskate blogger, you've also got a great deal for us this weekend. So let's talk about that. That's on the homepage as well.
Right. So instead of a specific deal today, I wanted to talk about a way that you can save money on just about everything that you buy online, not just computer and tech and stuff like that, but everything, office equipment. Ooh. And clothes and shoes and you name it. There's a site called Ebates.com, which is like rebates without the R. Mm-hmm. And just as its name suggests, it is a cash back site, a rebate site. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like something that's probably fairly complicated or tricky or whatever, and it is just the opposite. It is one of my favorite destinations now. I'm become kind of an accidental advocate for this site because I've used it so much and I'm the cheapskate, so I'm all about the saving the money. And so it works like this. So let's say you're shopping for a new laptop and you've kind of narrowed it down to a model from, say, Dell or HP.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going directly to the Dell or HP website and making your purchase there, you go to Ebates.com. You have to sign up for an account, which is very quick and easy. And then you simply look up Dell or HP within Ebates, do a little search, and then you click through from Ebates to Dell or HP or whatever the site is, and you shop like you normally would. If you have a discount code that you've gotten elsewhere, you use it. You just make your purchase, and you get a percentage of that purchase back.
I see. Now, how do you get it back? I'm just curious about that. Oh, with the account.
So after signing up for an Ebates account, you kind of choose your preference for how you want to get your cash back, whether it's through PayPal or they mail you a check. And I think
you can get
it even in the form of an Amazon gift card if you prefer.
Oh, wow.
So you have a couple options there. And I think they issue the rebates every 90 days or so. So the idea is that it kind of adds up over time. I mean, a rebate might be 3% here. It might be 6% there. It varies from store to store. But, if you're spending $100 here, you're spending $500 on a laptop, and you're getting back 3%, 5%, 8%, this starts to add up. And so by the end of 90 days, depending on if you shop online like I do, you could be looking at a check back for $50, for $80, and
sure.
It's free money.
Think
for
of our old friend Tom,
doing nothing.
Our old friend Tom Dyroff, who ended up paying, matter of fact, he got paid for buying a laptop way back when they cost a ton of money by working rebates. And this would be another way of doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's such a simple site to use. And I'm actually at the point now where I think that it's crazy not to use it because it's an extra couple clicks and you're getting money back. It's ridiculously easy.
Okay. Now, I have just posted that, by the way, on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. And provided that the update goes through, you'll get that link there. All right, guys, quick question for you. What do you think Microsoft, with the huge changes they're making in their basic software and their basic operating system to Windows 8, big sea change, huge change. Do you think they can make it a three-legged race between Google and Apple and Microsoft?
No.
Why not?
That's all I'm going to say. No.
No. Why not?
I think that Microsoft is going to fall into its old pattern of confusing the consumer and pricing themselves in such a way that people don't see the value. It remains to be seen what the tablets are going to cost. But I just think... I think Windows 8 is already meeting with a lot of pushback from consumers who don't like the new interface. I think that the Surface idea, while it looks great on paper, is either going to prove to be cumbersome or, again, mm-hmm. I hate to keep going back to price, but I just think that if a tablet is going to be $500, $600, $700 and it's not an iPad, no one's going to go for it. I would love to be proven wrong.
So price is going to be a big part of that, you think?
I absolutely think it will.
Guys, around the horn kind of quickly because we're coming to the end here. What do you think, Gary?
Absolutely, they'll make it a three-legged race. And certainly coming from the business side and then, bleeding over into the consumer side. Right now they still own, the corporate mindshare. And that's not going to go away anytime soon. It'll bleed over. A lot of people will become accustomed to it, comfortable with it, because they're using it at work, they'll use it at home too.
Yep.
But it will not. They do. Microsoft has never really focused on the consumer market well,
right.
And I don't think they'll. I think that will continue.
Mm. And to spin off what Gary's saying, it's just not Microsoft. We're going to be relying on all the other OEMs. We're going to be relying on Sony. And Samsung,
HP,
all of their different Dell. OEMs are going to be putting their own flavor and their own twist on it, and they're going to then twist it make it a more consumerable product.
But then there's that same old question again, is how can you make a tablet any different? How is HP's tablet going to be different from Dell's tablet? They're going to be just different wrappers.
But basically, you'd say the same thing with all of the tablets that are coming out right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you say, it's
I
that
agree.
Black rectangle with a bezel on it, and the software really becomes the issue then after that, how well it works. Now, oh, great guru of the dark side.
I was going to throw one more thing in there, and that is the gameplay with the Xbox. If they could tie that in a little closer to the, you know, to the half a billion Xbox users out there, I mean, you might have something.
That is a very interesting. I think in November there's supposed to be some serious changes coming there. Yeah, I think too.
And I would agree with that on that. That could, you know, they could come back.
That would be their consumer link.
Right.
I think that would be their consumer link. Cal, your thoughts?
Not even a three-legged race, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because you got three athletes in that race that are doing three different sports. Apple makes both the software and the hardware.
True.
Google makes more software or access than anybody else, and then Microsoft only makes software and doesn't really make the hardware. It just drives the OEMs to be able to do it. So it's not really a fair race for anybody in that particular sense, in my opinion. I just think that I think I agree with Gary and Rick. Microsoft's probably going to focus more on the business side and probably do okay to well with that particular aspect. I don't think they're going to really jump that far into the consumer side of the game, because the Surface is not coming across as being a consumer device to me. It looks more like it's tuned toward business. And then, as Ed said, if they could find a hook somewhere with the billions of Xbox users, Microsoft might have something going there.
Right.
But what's going to happen on there that everybody's going to
do? See,
now,
here's where I think the international factor comes in that I talked about earlier in the program, because you have huge markets in China, huge markets in India that really haven't been tapped, I don't think, yet, by the other phone platforms as much. And that, now this is parenthetical, at least, or I should say, I haven't got any hard evidence in front of me, but some of the commentary I've been hearing is that Windows Phone systems have been used in China, for instance, a good deal. So they're familiar with that, besides the fact, as you said, Gal, that they're building all the phones over there anyway. It'll be interesting, I think, what happens if just even a tiny fraction of this billions of people decide to start gobbling up a certain technology, and it proves well. For instance, what if it works with the idiomatic characters, I think that's what they call them, and the Oriental languages? That might be a factor that suddenly means sales of all sorts of devices. Who knows? Who knows?
God, I'd love to see the thumb pad for, you know, a Cantonese on a phone. You know, you're 12-foot screen.
I just heard, by the way, that the tablet devices with styli, with the pens, is precisely makes a big impact in the Orient, because they can draw characters then on a pad, which is very interesting. Anyway, folks, it's going to be a wild season. Once again, the homepage is for the place for you to go at internetadvisor.net. Also tells you about what's going to be happening with the sports programs coming up and the preemptions to our feed on our flagship station, WJR. So please take a look at that, because it'll tell you how you can get your questions into us. But right now, you can get them in by calling 800-859-0957. We got the full crew here. We'd love to hear from you at 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you for joining us for hour number two of the Internet Advisor, live on our flagship station here, WJR. And that will be changing soon because of the fall sports schedule with Michigan State University, where we'll be preempted at times. However, those folks listening to us on Michigan Radio Network, you'll still be hearing us. And anybody who wants to download the program from our home site will be there, because every week we will be here with our program. But for right now, it means you can get a live call in at 800-859-0957. It's that time of the program where we open up the doors to you. And matter of fact, we call this your hour of the program, because it's when we answer your questions about computers and about, we have to say, other devices, because there's questions. More and more of them are coming to us. And I don't know if you guys have noticed it. By the way, the whole team's here, the Internet Advisor team, plus Rick Broida from CNETS, who's stuck around, and the Gadget Guy, and glad to have you guys here. Have you noticed we're getting more questions about things like phones as well?
I'm so glad that we called our show 15 years ago when we started, we called it the Internet Advisor.
Yes.
Just think if we'd have called it the Modem Advisor, you know, because, you know, that's what we were talking about back then.
You're absolutely right.
And then we talked about Wi-Fi, and then we talked, you know, this thing called
wireless. Could have called it the Desktop Advisor.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Even calling it the Computer Advisor right now would limit you, wouldn't it?
It would.
All right. Yeah. Well, the number is 800-859-0957. We've got Dean and Bill out there right now, and room for you folks as well. We're going to step aside for just a moment because Eric Anderson is here with the Mac Minute.
This week on the Mac Minute, a delay for the iPhone 5 and a new Walmart app. Could the iPhone 5 be delayed? That's what the Wall Street Journal says. The report points towards a shortage of sharp LCD screens needed to build a big enough supply of the iPhone 5. It should be noted that Sharp isn't the only supplier of LCD screens for Apple. The company also uses similar LCD screens from Japan Display and LG. A similar problem happened with Sharp screens for the iPad last year, but that did not result in a release delay. As usual, no official word from Apple. Also this week, iPhone checkout could be coming to Walmart. Reuters says the company is testing out a new scan-and-go system with current Walmart employees. If put in place, the system would allow a customer to check out using a Walmart application on their iPhone. Apple already uses a similar software application in their retail stores that allows a customer to check out on their iPhone, and Walmart's system would work the same way. For the Internet Advisor, I'm Eric Anderson, and that's the Mac Minute, give or take a few seconds.
Thank you so much, Eric, for that. And, of course, it's almost kind of the rumor mill with Apple until we get the real thing. Matter of fact, I don't think there's been a... Had they confirmed, Cal, the 12th of September as the date for the reveal? I thought it's hanging out there.
No, but it's not.
Yeah.
Nothing's confirmed.
Nothing's confirmed until the last minute.
It'll be confirmed when you walk into an Apple store and you see it on the counter.
There you go. There you go. Well, guys, we're talking... Matter of fact, we were just talking about something in the break before we get to our callers, just kind of quickly, and that is an interesting development in this in gadgets, and Rick, I handed you the article there, is the mapping software now has become interesting because Windows phones are now going to use Nokia's mapping software, which also has turn-by-turn directions, voice activated.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amazon, we're looking at there with their new Kindle. Fire is probably, they're speculating, they'll be using that mapping service as well.
Well, the reason I looked at you so blankly when you said that is I was thinking, well, the Kindle Fire doesn't do mapping right now, so yeah. This is obviously related to the new model, which right. Maybe we'll have GPS, maybe we'll have 3G, 4G, who knows?
And we'll see that reveal coming up apparently in a couple of weeks as well, here in September.
Well, and Apple's doing, you know, using their
yes,
own
their
software.
Own, they're going to their own software.
Not only turn-by-turn instructions on their mapping software, but flyby.
And 3D.
Right? Well, 3D.
3D as well.
Called flyby.
Oh, is that what that's what it is? Okay. It'll be interesting to see. I noticed that, I guess the big loser in this is Google then, in some ways.
Well, Google's been going after some of their markets, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So. And I think one of the key things will be, see what you guys think about this. The company that comes up with good voice activation software will be a big winner. Hands-free. You were talking, I think, about that before.
Absolutely. Right? And, you know, when you think about it, in some cases, you know, is 95, 98% accuracy good enough? Sometimes. But in a lot of cases, maybe it's not. And we're more and more seeing where it's starting to be used in places where you really got to have some decent accuracy.
Right. Yeah, 98% accuracy won't be good enough if you say, turn right and you want to go left. I agree with you 100% there.
Well, the mapping software is accurate. It's just the voice activation yeah. isn't accurate. Well,
that
you're
has
right.
been...
Well, one of the companies that really has gone a long way to that, I believe, is Apple, because with that Siri, I mean, you're not actually...
Siri disappointed us all when it first came out, and their goal is to make it better, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Take a look at the dictation interface in Mountain Lion
when understand.
You load it and give it a crack, because it actually does not use an internal thing. It's using the Siri base to do
it. Oh, is it?
Yes.
So you had to be connected to the cloud then?
I believe so.
Oh, that'd be interesting to see. But I think it's going to be... I was amazed when I picked up a Windows phone and used it for a while, how quickly it got everything pretty much right, and very frustrated when I try to use it on an Apple device.
Which device are you using now?
Well, right now I'm not using any device that uses any kind of voice activation. Pardon me, my iPhone. iPhone 4 have right now.
Oh.
And it's obviously doesn't have Siri on it, but the voice recognition is horrible on it, just absolutely horrible. So I think it's going to be, yeah. Well,
especially when you use it as a phone?
I have had some problems with that. Before we get, I'm not going to take a caller up yet. We're getting some folks lined up. Dean and Bill will be with you shortly. We got somebody else coming up as well. Let us talk. Have you used any devices, Rick, that you think really work well with voice?
You know, I have to say that I don't have as many problems with Siri as some people do. I actually like it very well for what it's intended to do. I think people think it's supposed to be miraculous and be able to recognize everything. But just in terms of what Google has integrated into the OS that doesn't require any kind of cloud connection, it works very, very well.
Google.
So on Android phones,
yes,
in other words.
I have heard that.
They've really nailed the voice rec. It's not maybe as versatile as Siri is, but for what it can do right now, it's excellent.
But yeah, it works.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. And I would love to simply be able to launch an application or say to it, please call Ed Rudell and have it recognize Ed Rudell and not pick up some other name in the phone book and feed it back to me.
Right.
After a while, it's a matter of recognizing my voice or whatever. Okay, folks, a quick break, and then we go back to your calls at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957. The Internet and Advisor on the air for you.
Now back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Well, let's dig into that. Thank you very much, guys. This is the Internet Advisor, so we can't help you with your weeds.
But we went from the World Wide Web to the World Wide Wine.
Well, if you got a bug with your computer, we might be able to help
you. Now, there you go. All right, let's go looking for some bugs. All right. Dean from Brighton, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Glad to have you on the air with us.
Hey, I'm calling back again. I called you guys about a month, and you gave me some good advice.
Okay.
So I figured I'd try it again, but you guys should change your names to the Trusted Internet Advisors.
Well, thank you.
If you're the guys that trust us, that's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, okay, but here's my issue. Call me old-fashioned, because all I use my email for is email.
Okay.
And I've got this Yahoo toolbar, and you guys have told me I needed to update my modem and my router, which I did.
Okay.
So now, though, when I tried to get my system running, I haven't used it since then. Mm-hmm. Where I had the AT&T mail, now it tells me I need to update the Yahoo toolbar and sign in with new accounts and all that stuff.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out, does that have anything to do with my mail as to why I can't get there? Or, you know, how can I avoid all the garbage that I don't want, because I'm not one of these Facebooker, Twitter, Googly.
You just want...
Yeah, and so the toolbar doesn't help you get to someplace you can't go any other way. It just helps you get where you want to go easier. So if there's something on the Yahoo toolbar that you like and that's an easy way for you to get to it, that's fine. Most of us don't like the extra toolbars because it takes up the extra real estate on our screen and we can't see as much other content on the screen. So you have to decide if it's right for you. If you want to take it off, Ed, there's some really easy ways to uninstall the toolbar or at least deselect it so it doesn't appear, right?
Well, that's true. Within Internet Explorer, you can do that. But could you explain again? Well, Internet Explorer, it's defined as a plugin, and you can disable that plugin. But what is the exact problem you're experiencing? Is it trying to access your...
One of the toolbar items is my Yahoo Mail.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And when I hit the Yahoo Mail, now it says, do I have a Yahoo ID, create a new account, sign in with some other stuff, and I thought I'd be able to go back and put in my old Yahoo email ID and start from there, but I didn't know what this stuff was. Today's the first I did it, and I thought I better call somebody with more smarts than me to figure it out.
I think Cal might be able to help.
I think the best way to do it for you would just to type in your browser to go to yahoo.com, and then click on the mail link, and then you put in your normal credentials that you normally put in, and you'll be fine.
There's a little checkbox there that says, I think, remember me or remember this computer.
But that would be the best thing for
them
to do.
And then maybe make a favorites for it, right?
Yeah,
right. But see, what's happened, more than likely, is you had an original Yahoo account.
Right.
What AT&T has given you is their version of the AT&T Yahoo toolbar,
right.
And it may be that it is tailored to work with AT&T Yahoo customers.
I think that may be
it, you may want to call them, your AT&T provider right now, and explain to them that you had a Yahoo account, and is there a way that I can access it with the AT&T Yahoo toolbar that you as my internet service provider have provided me, and let them sort that out, because they've probably also created for you a new AT&T Yahoo account.
But he could go to the old one by just doing what Cal said.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And then just saving it as a favorite.
And he'll be
fine.
Then
getting rid of the toolbar completely. And then he just goes to his favorites and scrolls down to
where he saved that.
Even
that
better,
page.
I would just make it his homepage.
Or make it his homepage.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, Dean.
Good
so two options there, Dean. You could get in touch if you want with AT&T, which as Ed said, and some of you other folks who are having trouble, that may be a good way of doing it. The other thing would be to simply what the guy said is, put in the credentials you had before, your username and password, and it will probably take you right to the new page. When you're done with that, then go into the tools on or settings on the toolbar and set the home page as that Yahoo page. Okay, so that way, every time you open up that browser, it'll go right to it right away, and then you'll just get your email.
And Boom. Dean, do you know how to do that? Set your home page.
Yep, okay, I can do that part.
Excellent, Dean. Thanks for your calling back.
Can I just ask one quick question?
Sure.
Quickly, yep.
Okay, real quick. I've got an old HP iPad Pocket PC that has now found the end of its use, I think.
Oh, my goodness. You mean it lasted this long?
So you're wondering...
Some of us are still old enough to use it.
So your question is you're wondering which museum to donate it to? Is that it?
It's going to the Smithsonian, okay?
Good job.
Okay. But now the question I have is, what is something to replace it with without, I don't need another phone. I've already got a work one and a personal one. I just need something to throw in my pocket to store a bunch of files that I use at work.
Interesting. Rick, this goes back to the old PDAs. You were talking about the Palm days earlier on.
Right. It's so funny to hear that comment. The HP iPad. Wow. So you want something that you can just carry files with? You don't necessarily want it for anything like music or web browsing or anything like that?
No, it's just between work to use it for collecting my calendar and emails at work and using it for files that I have a lot of references rather than carrying a huge three-ring binder.
Mm.
Boy, that's a tough one.
How about just going with Google Calendar? Can you say calendaring? Why not just set up a Google Calendar where you can access it anywhere?
Well, the question I've got is I walk out to the floor to the plant, and
you need portability
items so that I can have them as a ready reference.
Yeah. You know what?
What about like an iTouch?
An iPod Touch would probably be good for that.
Yeah. And they're not that expensive. It looks like an iPhone.
Yep.
They come with cameras now. But you can organize your contacts. Yep. You could put files
through iCloud. Am I right? Yeah, iCloud would sync up all. You had to get an Apple account, but once you got it, you can sync everything up. So your contacts.
Now we're dead, because I can't use Apple with the system at work.
But you know what? You don't have to. That's not a big deal, right? All you need to do is be able to get the files onto that system.
That's true. Yeah. Do you need to interact with your system at work?
Yeah, because that's where the stuff. I save it to the laptop that I have for work, and then I have to, download it into this so that I don't need to take the laptop or other stuff because I get into areas where I'm out in the middle of places that I shouldn't be carrying a computer.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but with the advent of the smartphones nowadays, the PDA, as we all known it back in the old
personal digital assistant,
has been so merged and embellished into the phones now. I think you're kind of stuck with upgrading your phone to be able to do that.
Yeah, so why can't he just go buy a refurbished, iPhone 3 or an old Android phone and use it just for file storage and his contacts and some other things without using it as the phone itself?
Right, he could do that with the iTouch. Why do they prohibit Apple? I mean, the question that I would get to you, did you ever load software on the computer at work so that your HP iPad would work?
I loaded it onto my laptop, yes.
Yes, okay.
But, so it's the idea that they don't recommend using, support the Apple software?
Well, that's okay.
But all you have to do is load the iTunes software on there, and that will sync everything for you. And then when you get home, I think you could sync up your calendar with it, couldn't you?
Yep, exactly, sure.
So they won't support it, meaning if it breaks, you'll have to call us again, or fix it yourself.
That's probably the better answer.
All right, Dean. Thank you very much. A great question and an interesting one. Now that the personal digital assistants have gone the way of the albatross,
because they are now called smartphones and they add more things to them.
That's exactly it. It used to be that you had to have a phone plus a PDA. Remember, you had to have those two devices, and now that's all been merged together.
I believe the word is assimilation.
Assimilation, but. Going back to that point, so anything on that device, actually, Dean or anybody else, it doesn't matter if that particular operating system is supported,
That just
you could
means,
still.
Yeah, they, that means they won't fix it. But
okay.
You could,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's not going to do anything bad
no.
to the system. That's not the mm-hmm. point. All right. Our phone number here is 800-859-0957. We got a whole bunch of people here we want to get to quickly. Yeah.
As long as they will even allow iTunes on. Sometimes they won't allow it on.
Okay. That's something else to check as well. Back with a whole bunch of people in just a minute. And we'll tell you also about the ways that you can get your questions to us when our programs are preempted on our flagship station, WJI. And that's going to be happening during the fall. Go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net. We have instructions on there, but generally just hit the contact us button on our homepage and send us an email. We'll answer your questions right here on the air. Welcome back. It's time for us to get back to answering your questions. So let's go right back out to Dan from Troy. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. And looks like you're a little concerned about whether you might have some spyware.
Yes, sir. I got malicious software. Anything I click on to open gets a warning bubble saying spyware infection. And then it says file infected. Activate the antivirus. But anything I click gets the bubble that says infected.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I was going to say, what is? How long has this been on there and what operating
just
system?
Just a day. It happened like yesterday morning.
Okay,
oh, good.
First thing I would do, and I have this on the Internet Advisor's website, so internetadvisor.net.
No, hang on.
You
hang
could
on.
Use another computer. The first thing I would do is perform a system restore.
Tried it.
And it doesn't let you do that?
No, it says even that file is infected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he boot in safe mode to try it?
Yeah, have you? That's a good point.
Well, how do you do that?
You hit F, you reboot your computer, and you hit the F8 key.
F8?
Yeah,
until,
you tap it.
Yeah, just tap it continually until...
1 second apart.
Yeah, 1 second apart until it comes up into the safe mode, which is like a black and white screen.
Yep. The other thing, if that fails, is... So try that, and then try to do a system restore.
Right.
The other thing you can do quickly is see if you could still go into control panel. Have you got multiple users on this computer?
Mostly just me, but other... mostly just me.
Yeah, but are there multiple user accounts or desktop or login icons?
It's like the wife's name, and then I have guest access as well.
Okay, you have guest access. So guest access probably wouldn't allow you to go in. One of the things you could do is, so you do have multiple icons.
At sign on, for instance, you will see an icon that says maybe your wife's name, guest, and then admin, maybe.
It's all, you know, it's always on, so...
Okay,
I gotcha. One of the things you could do is you could create a new user account if you don't have a user account.
Okay.
So go into Control Panel under Users, let it create a new user account, and try to reboot, because when it does, that other user account isn't affected. These types of viruses seem to infect based on user account first. So if you already had another user account, you could quickly shut off the computer, come up, log in as the other user, quickly do a system restore...
Give it administrative permissions, right?
Yes. Well, I'm saying if they already had one.
Okay. Right.
I haven't tried just creating another user account.
I got you.
And if that function still works.
But if those things don't work and everything stonewalls him, are we basically back to the place where he has
to
reinstall?
Well, go into safe mode and you could try to do the system restore. If that doesn't work, in safe mode, you still may be able to download Malwarebytes on another computer.
Is safe mode the F8 1 second apart?
Yes.
So you power up the computer, you tap the F8 key at 1 second intervals, it'll come up in Windows safe mode. Hopefully, you'll still be able to download Malwarebytes, as an example, onto a flash drive from another computer, mm-hmm. plug the flash drive into your new computer, let it run, and scan your computer. You might even have the option, you should have the option also to do safe mode with networking. That way, when Malwarebytes installs, it'll be able to download the most recent signature updates, and hopefully it'll remove the infection.
Now, the other thing we found, by the way, just had somebody who wrote in on an email to us with a problem this week, mm-hmm. and we suggested a combination of Malwarebytes plus something called CombiFix. And as a matter of fact, they had tried Malwarebytes alone and hadn't gotten rid of the problem. When they added CombiFix to it, that cocktail worked well to get their problem fixed.
Is that malware, B-Y-T-E-S?
Yeah. Now, if what we're suggesting you do is this. Go to somebody else's computer that's not infected. Take a little thumb drive with you.
Yep.
Plug it in. And then what you do is you go to our Internet Advisor homepage, internetadvisor.net. Under the toolkit, Ed has the links to download Malwarebytes, and he also has the link to download CombiFix and instructions as well.
And these are free.
And they're free. Yes, they're absolutely free.
One more second before when you said reboot, does that mean like push the power button?
Yes, restart the computer.
Well, you try to tried to do it the other way first, right?
Which is the other way?
Well, you tried to use the shutdown.
Yeah, yeah. Start, shutdown, restart. Yeah.
I see.
Otherwise, when you don't, you're doing a hard restart. And what can happen is sometimes with Windows, you can get programs that get hung up and you have problems after restarting.
As it's shutting down, I would do the F8?
No, after it shuts down completely. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you hit the power button and start it up again. And as you see the lights going, blinking, you start hitting F8. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Keep on going, and then what'll happen is you'll finally get a black screen with white print on it, and it starts scrolling, and it says, how do you want to enter it? And as Ed said, if you can, safe mode with networking. Okay?
Safe mode with networking. Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Hope some of those things work for you, Dan. Thank you very much for calling it. It is terrible when you get hooked up like that. Jerry from Toledo, Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how may we help you with Vista?
I lost my wireless driver, and I called Dell, and they couldn't get it back. And Verizon, I went to the Geek Squad, they said I needed a new hard drive.
Oh.
I can get internet on cable, and I just bought a wireless USB attachment, which will probably work. But I was wondering if maybe you knew some way that I could get a driver downloaded. I couldn't download one, and Dell couldn't do it.
Now you're sure you? How do you know your driver's not there?
I've searched. I read a lot of stuff and. It's supposed to be listed in there, but when I go to the networks or the various devices, I just can't get anything other than the usual dial-up and stuff like that.
Okay.
Do you have a switch on the side of your laptop?
Yes.
No. Uh-uh.
On the front of it.
No.
Do you have a little section on the top where you touch it and it automatically gives you a blue antenna?
No, they say you can go to FNF1, I think it is.
Yeah, Function 2, I think on Dell laptops.
That didn't do it. No.
Now, here, I want to suggest something to you because I've had this
I was going to say the BIOS. When you power up your computer on a Dell, you can go into the BIOS. And what is that? F12 on a Dell. And when you power it up, it says go press F12 or F1 or 2 to go into setup. And when you do, there's a way of disabling, enabling wireless in the BIOS, in the setup, pre-Windows and everything. It's called BIOS on a Dell. So the wireless adapter could be turned off in there as well.
Yes.
The
other thing you can do, and I've done this with some, I bought some old Dell machines, and as I was putting a software into it, I found that I didn't have the driver. If you flip the Dell over, it should have a service tag on it. And you should be able to go into the Dell website and put that service tag number in there. What it'll do is it'll then automatically bring up all the drivers for that. And you can then cherry pick that driver for the wireless card off of there and download it. Now, you might have to download it to another computer, to a thumb drive and bring it over.
He can use wired. So he'll just plug in wired.
Yes, pardon me, of course. I beg your pardon. So, you can just put an Ethernet cable in, plug it in, and then you can get to it, obviously. And then from there, on the Dell site, even if you have an older machine, what's your machine, Jerry?
It's a Vostro.
A Vostro? It's how many years old?
It's three or four.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you shouldn't have any trouble. That's not old enough that they won't have the drivers still up there.
Yeah, the drivers will be there.
Yeah, the drivers will be up there. Download it then.
Yeah, but the problem is that the drivers are there, but Windows doesn't see it anymore.
Right.
And it could be, like Kel said, that somehow it's disabled either through the switch, a soft switch in the BIOS, or actually the card could have actually gone bad. I mean,
That's another thing, too. That is a possibility. But you have a number of resources that you can tap into there, Jerry, okay?
And if he gets the driver and the driver's installed properly and then he can't get to it, now it's a hardware problem probably.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care. And let's head out then to talk with... I'm having a hard time with my phones right now.
There's only two buttons, Foster.
I know there's only two buttons.
We only gave you two buttons.
All right, I won't touch it anymore, Ken. Thank you very much. Jim from Sylvania, Ohio. Thank you very much. South of the border. All right, Jim, how may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Oh, two things. First thing is when I'm on certain websites, I get these creepy little pop-ups on the lower right-hand corner called I Live It.
And you
go live it. Is that on my computer or is that on their website?
I have no idea, Cal.
Well, one of the best ways to find out whether or not it's on your computer or not, you might want to go to Control Panel, Add, Remove Programs, and see if you see any iLivid stuff. Nothing?
It's not there.
Hmm.
Like when I go to listen to your station online and do the click on the listen to the, here, mm-hmm. sometimes it will take over and try to steer you in other directions, to give you other sites, give you multiple choices, and drives you nuts.
Yeah.
Hijack. Have you checked it in your browser? Have you checked for toolbars in there to see if you got anything in there that says iLivid?
Yeah, I haven't. I don't believe so, but it drives me crazy.
Rick, or what is that called? Add-ins or plug-ins in the browser too?
Yeah. So I just want to. What browser are you using?
Well, I've got all three located. I've got Chrome, I've got Internet Explorer, and I've got Firefox. I've got them all on.
And this pops up regardless of which browser you use?
Seems mostly in Firefox or Chrome. I don't seem to get too much in Internet Explorer.
Okay. My guess on something is you do have some sort of spyware on your system, and any number of ways to get rid of it, but that's my guess.
And I think I would suggest, again, the combination that Ed has before at InternetAdvisor.net in our toolkit of Malwarebytes plus CombofX. It's a good 1-2 punch on that kind of thing. See if that works for you. All right.
Okay.
Jim, thanks so much
for
your call. Hope it helps you. Back in just a moment to talk with another Jim and Harold and see if we can solve their problems as well. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor for our program. And thanks to the folks behind the glass, Mr. Ken Tucker. Always good to have him back there spinning the dials. And Annie Nichols, thank you for being back as well. Our friendly voice that greets you when you call into our program. Speaking of which, by the way, next week, MSU Sports on our flagship station, WJR, will preempt our program, but we are still on the air. We are still recording every week in Internet Advisor. So please go to our homepage and make sure you find out how to get hold of it. Eddie.
Hey, we had one of our callers that dropped off, but they were having problems with their Outlook personal folders.
Oh, yes.
And they dropped off, unfortunately. The file they can look for, they can look for articles on it, and how to find it is scan.pst.
Scan.pst.
It's a Microsoft utility for Outlook that actually scans and repairs your Outlook personal folders.
Wonderful.
So I just wanted to, if they're still listening.
You go to Microsoft to get that?
No, it's actually on the hard drive.
Oh, really?
And it's a utility that Microsoft does not create an icon for.
Interesting.
It's one of those Microsoft.
Does it depend on the operating system?
It comes with Office, Microsoft Office.
Oh, with Office, I got it.
And Microsoft Outlook. But they do not provide an icon for
it. That's interesting. Scan PST.
It's one of those things that we always, us technicians, always use to repairs.
See? Very important to have technicians around. That's where we have Ed and Cal with us, as well as Gary and Rick Breida in studio right now. Let's go to Harold from Madison Heights. Harold, how may we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes.
To start out, I'm visually impaired. And
okay.
I have two computers. They both have Windows 7, and mm-hmm. I'm using Windows Live Mail for my email.
Okay.
And, by the way, Cal a few weeks back said Windows Live Mail comes with all the Windows 7 operating systems, and they do not because my desktop did not come with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was Microsoft. It was Vista that came with Microsoft Mail and Live Mail. Microsoft subsequently replaced it with, and I don't remember him saying that, but he could have.
Well, you know something? That's the reason why I'm using a Mac, right?
Okay.
Sorry about that. Cute. Hey,
now, Harold, Harold, how can we help you? What's the question you have?
Okay, my question is, where can I find my address book in Windows Live Mail or Windows 7, wherever it is?
Where can you find your address book? Now, when you say you use, now, are you using a mail program that's on your computer or one that's on the web?
No, I use Windows Live Mail.
Okay, which is a mail program that is on your your computer. Okay.
Right.
Where is the address book in there? Is there a place to?
It's actually called Contacts.
It
should be called Contacts.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Contacts? Yes.
Yes. Have you just tried typing the word Contacts?
I had no idea what
he's visually impaired, so
yes,
he didn't know. So
I'm
he was
sorry,
calling
I'm
it
sorry.
Address book. And I'm thinking if you just try Contacts.
Yes. Do you use Dragon Speak to
Jaws?
No,
or Jaws?
I do not.
Probably Jaws.
No, I do not use Jaws either.
Oh, you don't use a screen reader?
Yes, I do. I use Windowized.
Windowized? I'm sorry.
Really?
I have not heard of that.
And does it work for you?
It's as big as Jaws.
Really?
How does it work for you? Does it work well?
Yeah, it works just like Jaws does.
Okay.
Is it a separate program that you buy?
Yep.
And
it sure is.
And how is it cost comparison wise? Because I know Jaws is quite a financial hit, yeah. And it's about the same. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that use Jaws have not taken the Windows 7 plunge because every time you update an operating system, you have to then get the upgrade cost, which is substantial. Yeah. $300 to $500, I thought.
Mine updates have been in the $100-and-some-dollar range.
Well, there you go. That's good.
That's still a lot of money.
One thing with Windowized, you can put it on a server, where Jaws you cannot.
Very interesting. So this is a third-party product. It's not necessarily a Microsoft product?
No.
Okay.
The company is in... down in Indiana.
Folks, the reason I'm taking some time to do this is that we have a lot of folks who listen to our station and our program in general who are visually impaired like you are, visually challenged, and it's great to be able to share this information with them as well. So Windows Eyes, is that two words or one word?
It's one word. It's hyphenated.
Oh, okay. Windows Eyes. All right. Maybe we can find that link to that and put that up there for the folks. But again, so what you would do, Harold, is simply go in and use your program then to look for contacts, and it should call that up for you. Okay?
Well, I've even gone into the tools under Windows Live Mail, and I didn't see anything I recognized there.
Well, just as generally, if I was, I would look into the search bar and I would type in the word contacts, and it should come up with the proper thing then. Okay?
All right, I'll try that and see what I can come up with.
Okay, thanks so much, and the best to you on that. All right, let's talk to Jim from Westland. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you with your HP laptop?
Hey, I got a Hewlett-Packard laptop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a GS71.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, G71. Had it for about 3 years, using it yesterday, last night, shutting it down. Did something really weird, and all I got was not the traditional blue screen, like when you go into safe mode or anything like that.
Yes.
But it was a background blue, like a desktop, but no icons. And it wouldn't shut down. It took forever. It's finally off, but then when I turn it back on, I get I got to press the escape key. Startup. And it goes to a startup menu.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells me I do not have a, F10.
Does not have a hard drive, I think we saw on the message here. Is that right? Gives you an
error? Yeah, but it's telling me.
Pardon me?
It's telling me there was no hard disk.
No hard disk,
And I had to put the operating system on it.
Ouch. Okay. Sounds like your hard drive is failing. Yeah. When you boot up, when you select F10, that's the... HP and Compact go into the setup of your unit, but I believe if you tap F9, F9 will then bring up a startup menu that says what device would you like to boot off of. But
F9 says setup default.
Right. And then one of them allows you to select your HP diagnostics, I believe.
Okay.
And if you select that, that'll actually tell you whether or not it'll do a diagnostics and tell you if you have a failing hard drive.
Now, if you have...
I pressed F9, and it says load system defaults, and it says yes or no. So.
Oh, sorry. That must be a different HP platform I was dealing... Because on my HP Pro Book and the Elite Books, when I pressed F9, it gave me the option to run HP Diagnostics. One of the function keys, and it may have been F12, that allows you to run disk diagnostics.
Wow.
How old is the computer?
It's probably three, four years old.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad. Does the date come up wrong on it when you boot it up?
Mm.
No, it doesn't give me anything. For a while, all I was getting was a black screen with the cursor blinking up in the top left corner.
It does sound more and more like a hard drive.
Are you at all handy with tools?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
What guy isn't?
you might want to take the side off the computer. Is it a laptop or a desktop?
It's a laptop.
Okay.
You may want to take the side off the computer. Disconnect the power cord first. Take the side off the computer. Put the power cord back in, and then press the button. And if you know what a hard drive looks like, kind of lean your head toward it and hear whether or not it's spinning up or whether it's just going click, 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 click. Or whether or not it's not making any noise at all.
Okay.
And that'll tell you whether you physically have a hard drive problem. If it's a hard drive problem, you're pretty much skunked.
You hear the clicks.
Yeah, you hear the clicks.
Or nothing at all.
Or and what we suggest to, I think, right now, Jim, because we don't have much time for more diagnostic on this thing, is you probably do have, it sounds like, a failing hard drive. Get that hard drive out.
Yeah. One thing I will say, if you made your HP setup disk when you first bought your computer, they would have nagged you to create DVDs. You could buy...
Yeah, I did do a backup. I got a HP SimpleSafe, hard drive to memory.
Well, what I'm saying, you can go to the store and buy a new hard drive for $50 and pop it in there, and then do those restores.
That
should get you back in business.
Right. And for not much money, you can get some decent hard drives you can pop back in to make that work. Jim, thanks so much for your call. Hey, folks, we're heading out right now. And don't forget that starting next week on WJR, our flagship station, we will be preempted by MSU football. But we're still on the air. Matter of fact, a big program coming up next week with some folks from Microsoft talking about the big changes coming to their operating system. So please check out our homepage, internetadvisor.net, all the instructions there about how to find our programs and how to get your questions in. Have a great weekend. Thank you, everybody, for being here and joining our program.
You've been listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.